Hey everybody, Ben Bailey and
DC Benny here.
Here on our next episode of Tall But True, where the tales might sound tall, but they are true.
Yes, indeed, they are very true.
We've had a great run. We've had such a good run of shows lately, and this show will be no exception. We have a very special guest, as always, hilarious comedian who has really like exploded in the last couple of years. Yeah. Did a show in Philadelphia where he famously slammed the city of Philadelphia as he counted down until his set was up to a very rowdy crowd who had booed off people and everything.
Yeah, he was on Walking Dead too, right?
Walking Dead, yeah. I've heard, but I haven't seen that yet.
I haven't seen that yet either, but you know, everybody. But anyway, he's hilarious.
He's a yeah. funny guy. He's a good friend. He has the Monday Morning Podcast. He's been on doing some hilarious shit on Conan. And the big thing that I love is F is for Family.
Oh yeah,
which is just such a great show. It's fucking hilarious, and I love the song at the beginning of it.
And his name is Bill Burr.
And that guy's name is Bill Burr.
Yeah, Bill Burr's going to be on, so that's cool. We've known him for a while, man. Both of us know him for a while.
Billy Burr.
We knew him when he was Billy.
That's who we know. Yeah. And he was like, no, it's Bill now.
Yeah, it's like Sam Jackson, Samuel Jackson, Lawrence Fishburne, you know, Larry Fishburne.
Yeah, he took a step. Yeah. He moved on from Billy to Bill, but we still call him Billy. Yeah, we still call you Billy, dude, when you're not around.
Yeah, he's funny. Whatever, he's just funny as shit. And that's it. What's our topic? What are we doing?
Bill Burr is coming on to chat with us, and we'll be discussing the worst jobs we ever had.
God, that could be a 17-hour podcast.
I know, totally.
God.
What a great topic, man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so excited to hear what you guys' worst jobs are.
I got a horrific
great.
One.
All right, this is Tall But True, coming at you with Bill Burr and Worst Jobs Ever, right after this.
Hello,
is this Bill Burr?
Yes, hello, this is Bill Burr.
Hello, Bill Burr. It's Ben Bailey and DC Benny. What's
up,
dude?
Buddy? How you doing?
Ah, geez, a couple of alumni from the Boston Comedy Club. Ron, comedy seller. Remember Bobby? Dude, I got 15 spots. I never took a cab.
Bobby's a retard.
Saugus. Are you from Saugus?
Saugus.
What's up, man?
Yeah, when he first came down, he had the Boston material.
Yeah.
What was that keychain in the pocket with the, like, that goes, you know, it's like usually holds a watch in the Old West or something, but Bobby had it, like, a chain hanging off his jeans.
Oh, he had a chain for his keys?
Yeah, yeah.
Bobbo!
Right, and the ladies loved it.
I remember you guys descending on New York from Boston.
Oh, yeah.
We were like, who are these dudes?
Who are these hacks?
Who are these motherfuckers?
All heads of hair.
Taking our spots.
They're so castable.
Their accents that are just a little different. What's up, man? What are you doing?
I just left a rehearsal space. I was playing some drums because I live my life like a 14-year-old.
Nice.
Hey, you got to practice every day.
I got a gig coming up. I'm sitting here with the band, and I have to play Motley Crue's Kickstart My Heart. So I got it down.
Wow, that's cool. Will you play with the Comedy Jam guys?
Yeah, it's cool, man. That show keeps getting bigger. It's a TV show now, and now they play. We used to play in this cool theater off of La Brea or Highland. Now we're at this place. We're at the Ritz up on Sunset.
Sweet.
Oh,
man.
Nice, man. Those guys have a show now, huh? That's a TV show?
Yep, they're about ready to take their second season.
Oh, that's great,
January,
dude.
I believe.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah. All good guys, man. We played at the Garden with those guys.
You played with us at the Madison Square Garden. It's nice.
Yeah. We're losing you a little bit, man. You sound like you're getting into like a tunnel or something there just for a little. It's kind of going muffled.
No, I'm sitting in my car.
Oh, there we go. Now I can hear you. Cool.
Okay.
Did you have a good session? Are you sweating?
Yes, I did. But there's something I'm trying to do. I'm just frustrated with the fun. I was just like, slow down, play it at a fucking level that you can play it at, and slowly work your way up. So it's taken me forever. I've always tried to run before I can walk when it came to that stuff. So
yeah, I hear that.
Yeah, I can relate too. Yeah. I always feel like I should just be able to be really good at whatever it is that I want to be good at the first time I try it, and it's just so annoying to me that I'm not.
Yeah.
I have to keep working and working at it.
Yeah.
Fuck,
well, man. Well, that's what most people are. And it's just, if you stick with it, you know, you got to have the God-given talent, because I could stick with playing drums, which I have my whole life. I'm never going to be a pro drummer. But, you know, when I do those comedy jams, like, you know, it's definitely for the fun and the goof and everything, but I want to be getting better. Like, I don't want to just totally suck. I'd like to suck a little less, you know?
Yeah, see, I was having a conversation with some guys that I grew up with about exactly that. That's what keeps me passionate about the stuff that I love to do. You know, playing guitar, doing stand-up. Yeah. It's the thought that I can continue to get better at those things.
Yeah, it sucks when you don't see improvement.
Yeah,
that's the hard part.
My buddy was, like, talking about how he knows he's never going to be any better at golf than he is. And he's a really good golfer, but he won't be a pro or anything. But he doesn't feel like he's getting better or he ever will. And I was like, I would just not want to fucking play anymore if I didn't think that I could get better. That's the whole point. Like, you know?
I would just go to the course, and every time, like every round I played, three times when I should lay up, I would just go for it and see what happens. Just add something different to it, just to switch it up.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good idea. Go for it once in a while. Fuck it, go for it every time. Who gives a shit? You're not...
Hey, Phil Mickelson does it when there's like $1 million on the line. Like, if he doesn't care, why should I?
Dude, my buddy and I that I play with sometimes, we always say, what would Phil do when you're in one of those? And I'm like, yeah, I can't fucking hit the ball like Phil, though.
Oh, you go right for the pin.
Go right for the pin from 240 around a corner, halfway in the woods.
Yeah, I know, and he gets it.
Yeah, and he fucking hits it.
Up when he has like, he'll like, then he'll like three putt. That's how he does. He hits the tricky shot, and the thing that was before he won a major. Now he's got the ice water in the veins.
Dude, it's funny talking golf with you. I remember we had a debate about golf, the improv one night, about whether or not it's a sport. You remember that? I imagined you were like not a fan of golf.
No, I'm a fan of golf, but it's not a sport. It's an activity. You don't
have to. How about a game?
Hit the ball.
How about it's a game?
I would say it was a game.
A skill game. Let's call it a skill game.
A game of skill.
There you go.
A game of skill. Fair enough. But I would say that the guys who are the best at it are athletes. But if you go, when you go to a country club, there's like 80-year-old people playing. You don't see 80-year-old people playing baseball, tackle, football, and all of that. But you see some of those out-of-shape people ever, and they can actually beat you in a round of golf. So it can't be an athletic endeavor.
Squash is like that.
It's a mental sport. It's a mental sport.
It is. It's such a mental game. Bill, I'm worried about our audio here, man. Are you on a mic or something? Or for some reason, you're kind of going in and out, and I don't want to record all this.
No, I mean, I can drive down the street, maybe get better reception.
You just sounded better just then. It just seems like it's going in and out a little bit, and I'm going to be pissed if it's not good enough for us to
maybe
use.
Maybe when you don't agree with what I'm saying, when you agree with something that I say. Like, it was amazing once I stopped crashing golf. You suddenly could hear me.
You just went out while you were saying a lot of that.
Yeah, I lost you. I think it's where I'm parked here.
Okay, cool.
I think it's where I'm parked. So I'm gonna risk getting a ticket for your podcast.
Dude, I'll help you pay the ticket if you stay on with us while you get pulled over.
Absolutely. I'll have you on speaker. And you'll see my techniques. You'll see my techniques for getting out of...
For getting out of a ticket?
I missed everything.
I'm guilty.
I pulled you over? Yes, I do.
Yes.
I made an illegal U-turn. Why did you do that? Because I didn't want to wait in line with everybody else. Why is that? Because I'm impatient. That's what I said to a guy one time. He goes, do you want me to give you a ticket? I said, no, but I'm not going to lie to you. He goes, all right, get out of here. And I go, you're awesome.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Because I do always come up and ask you questions. Yeah. Do you know how fast you're going? Yeah. And you're like, yeah, of course I do, but I'm not telling you.
Yeah, I was going like 80.
I was going 83. I know exactly how fast I was going.
Why were you going so fast? My favorite song came on and I got all amped up.
That's a great way to approach the cops. It'd just be straight up with them. Yeah,
that
I killed him.
Just T-boned me, one of those little Toyotas, SR5s.
Just they nearly T-boned you? Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, they didn't see the stop sign. He was driving up. He was with his girlfriend, so I know she probably told him to slow down. Now he's somehow figuring out how to yell at her.
That's what sounded. Now you sounded good there when you were saying that. That was good and clear.
Yeah, when I trash the women, you hear it.
It comes out perfect.
Just keep saying negative things about women, and it'll come through just fine. We'll change the topic for tonight's show. Wow, man. Oh, there you go. I think it's better now.
Sounds good, man. Sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah, I just didn't want to lose it, dude. That would suck. Because we'd have some good fun, and we wouldn't be able to share it with everybody. So what's new, man?
If a cop pulls me over, I'm going to tell him, because I'm talking on my phone. If he says who you're talking to, I have to say the name of your podcast.
Sure. Okay, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Do you know what it is?
A podcast officer. I would believe it was the Ben in D.C. The D.C. The Before Comedy podcast.
It's called Ben and Ben. Where have you been? It's called
Ben and Ben.
It's called Tall But True. It's Tall But True.
Tall But True.
Yeah.
The tales might sound tall but they are true.
Yeah. You are insinuating that tall people lie.
Well, it's nothing about actual height.
Yeah.
That's just about the tails.
It's all about the tails,
Bill Burr. It's all about the tails.
I hear you. That's the way it was. 1923.
Oh, man.
How's it going out there, man? How you liking life on the West Coast, man? Because that's when I knew you were back in the East. How's it going?
Yeah, I didn't like it. When I first lived out here, and then I was like, yeah, I'm going to stay with the East Coast. And then I lived in New York for like 9 years, and I started coming out here, and I was feeling like, for the first time, I really liked it, and I was fighting the feeling, and I finally just gave into it. And, it's a rat race like New York, but it's just sort of a different thing in that you're in your car. But there's this major, like, influx of people moving in here, and they're really building up everywhere. Like really high buildings and stuff. It's apartment buildings and stuff. It's really crazy.
Wow. That seems to be happening all over the place. Like, they're building so much right here in the town I live in. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, Brooklyn's unrecognizable now. It's like that same stuff.
It's crazy, man.
Well, the population of the country isn't going up, so where are all these people coming from?
I don't know. Somewhere's got to be empty, right? What's empty?
Is that true? The population is not increasing? I think more and more people are living in cities. The population of...
Somebody told me that it wasn't increasing. So I'm going to go with the fact that it's not increasing.
Some guy in a bar told me.
We sort of stayed the same from what I've heard.
I heard someone told me that the population of New York City grew by 350,000 people in 2015.
Dude, everybody in my neighborhood's got like 5 kids. You know, I don't know how it's not increasing. I'm the only one with no kids in the neighborhood.
I was just in Peoria, and everybody there that I talked to seemed to have 4 or more children.
Yeah.
I'm like, how do you have 4 kids, man? That's a lot of kids, yo.
Yeah, no, it's irresponsible if you look at what's going on in the environment. But if you don't care, no, it really is. It really is. For 2 people to double, you know what I mean? Like, you're going to die, and then you're going to leave 4 people. And if all 4 of them have 4, that's 16. It's like the old shampoo commercial.
Yeah.
Except it destroys the planet.
It's all one big head and shoulders. Yeah.
That's right.
So what are we doing, Bailey?
I think we need to get this show started. This is Ben Bailey. I'm here with DC Benny. We're talking to our old friend Bill Burr out on the West Coast about the worst jobs we've ever had right after this. Don't go anywhere. I don't know about you guys, but I had a lot of shitty jobs through trying to make it as a comedian. I'm not sure exactly which one was the shittiest.
Yeah.
I know I had one where my entire job was to take these big pallets down off of shelves in a warehouse, take boxes off of those pallets, take bags out of those boxes, pull out these like a hypodermic needle without the needle part, just like a plunger thing. Take those out 50 at a time, lay them on a tray, put the tray in a rack, put 50 trays in the rack, push the rack into a big oven, push another, you know, do a whole nother rack, push that rack into the, you know, do four of those, run the fucking thing, shut it off, and then put them all back into the boxes they were in before. So like at the end of a hard day's work, it's like nothing has happened.
Right. And you lost 20 pounds.
You've sterilized all these fucking things, but you haven't seen a moment of daylight. And everything's right back where it was when you started. It was like, it was pretty fucking horrible. I barely lasted a week.
Your boss wasn't there. Your boss wasn't there. You get it all done? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just like, take a nap the whole day. Holy shit. No, they came and checked on you. You know. They knew that was something that would occur to people, so they came and checked every time. But that wasn't fun.
What about you, Bill? What were some of your shitty jobs?
I had a bunch of them. I was a busboy in a restaurant that was slowly going out of business. Oof. So as people quit, they would be like, hey, you want to be the dishwasher and the busboy? We'll give you an extra dollar an hour. And I was like, oh, boy, a whole other dollar, not realizing. They were paying one guy $4 and me $4, so that was $8. And then he quit, and then I did that guy's job for $3 less an hour. I was never good at math. And by the end of it, I was the busboy, the dishwasher, and I was cooking on a mesquite grill with a giant chef hat blasting. In.
Wow.
The whole place could see me cooking, and I had like the tuxedo on underneath my apron. So I would be cooking and like watching people finishing, and when they finished, I would duck down and then come back up in my alter ego, like without a hat, without the apron. And then I would run up, bust the table, wash the dishes, set up the new table, never wash my hands, and go back to grilling.
It's like a puppet show.
Oh yeah, in the beginning of the day, I had to wash. I had to like mop up near the oyster bar, is what they called it. It was basically a bar, and I had the black and white tiles like the old improv did.
Oh yeah,
and
right.
So
yeah.
I had to mop up all of that, and then the men's. And the women's room. That's how my day started. And I
was cleaning the bath, the toilets.
Yeah. Oh, you know, the whole damn thing. And I knew going in, like, all right, guys are animals. The men's room's going to be horrific. Yeah, yeah. But when I went into the women's room, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Dude, it was like there was just pee all over the place. And there was just mountains of toilet paper. It was like there was this giant parade, and then someone just peed all over it and left. So,
I've always wondered what it looked like in there.
Oh no, dude! It's like they hover and build nests, and they just pee all. At least in the 80s.
Yeah,
they hover and build nests.
Yeah, yeah. Thank God Hillary didn't get back in the White House. Whoever cleans the bathrooms.
Oh, I hear that.
Anyway,
man.
So working in a restaurant, right? I'll tell you a quick funny story here. Hopefully,
wait, what was the name of that place?
It was called the Sable Cafe, and it was in Cary, North Carolina, and it existed from 1987 to 1988. And there was all these guys that invested this money, and a couple of silent partners, so those guys always get screwed. The guy was there day to day. One of them, I don't want to rat him out even 30 years later, but he had a little bit of an 80s problem.
Yeah,
a problem
that's
that
what always happens
back then.
When you got silent
a lot
partners.
Of lies with that problem. So he was going into the register to help out with his problem and get a lot of head colds.
It's hilarious, man. Right? Yeah.
He's like,
allergies.
He's like, first you're the busboy, now you're the busboy and the waiter and the dishwasher. And the maitre d',
everybody there.
And then at the very end, he's like, and now you're the owner. Because I'm going to prison, and you owe these guys in this Lincoln right here a whole bunch of cash.
Yeah, no, it was brutal. And then the kitchen just was just all characters who all, you know, hated authority. It was musicians. It was addicts, alcoholics, drug addicts, a guy on a work release program from prison. I still remember he gave me shit one time. I wanted to tell him to go fuck himself, but he was in prison earlier that day, so I punked out, right? I was in the middle of doing my three jumps, and I came running back, and I was like, guys, we're out of glasses. And he looks up from, like, making salads, and he goes, well, why don't we wash some? And then he goes, ah, a novel idea. Like, he was this fucking aristocrat. It's just like, you're just in jail, you asshole. You fucking dickhead.
I love it. He's still mad about it.
And I'm still pissed.
Yeah, I can tell. I would be too. And you remember exactly what he said?
I remember what he looked like too, and he's stupid trying to look tough Fu Manchu. He was like 5'6". This is before white people knew anything about jiu-jitsu. So I could have Anyways, so there was this raging alcoholic who worked there. He waited tables, and he was a mess. He was like 35. He had the gin blossom of like someone who hung out with John Wayne for like 60 years. 35, dude. He looked like a W.C. Fields looking guy, but he was 35, so it was like, picture W.C. Fields with like a Fonzie haircut, like jet black hair and comb back and stuff, right? So this guy had lost his license so many times for drinking and driving, even in the 80s when you could like kill people and nobody cared really. This is right before the moms got mad and they got sick of it, right?
Yeah, when there were t-shirts that said, don't drink and drive, you might hit a bump and spill your drink.
Yeah, it's enough.
Yes, exactly. So these guys, this guy, he had lost his license so many times that the judge just took it away indefinitely. And I remember I was like, you're never getting it back? And he goes, well, you know, I got a hearing in about 8 months and we'll see what they say. So he used to drive to work on a moped, and he drank every night, and he would just pass out at 4 in the morning. And he lived in a trailer, I swear to God.
He lived in a trailer, and
he would, like, drive to work, in the even though it was North Carolina, like, in the wintertime, it still got cold and stuff, right? So he would drive to work sometimes, and if he woke up late and it was cold enough, he would have frost on the side of his hair where he had his feathered back, like Fonzie, right? So basically, this guy, his life was this moped. So one day, me and the people there working the kitchen, we decide as a joke, we're going to hide his moped just to watch him freak out. So me, this kid Jason, who was like, he was like my age, 19. He was a big metalhead. He was like one of those guys who never shaved his upper lip and had that awful, this is my first mustache.
I remember those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, so me, him, and like two other guys, we took the moped, and out back behind the restaurant was this storage shed. And it was built in the side of a hill and had all like these extra napkins and all these CO2 things or whatever for like the soda guns.
Yeah.
So we wheeled the thing behind it up the hill because it was a road, and we just wheeled it right onto the roof. So you couldn't see it. So dude, he couldn't find the thing. He came in like white as a ghost. He was freaking out. It was one of the hardest I ever laughed. And then finally we couldn't take it anymore. We're like, we're just fucking with you. We put it up on the roof, right? He's like, you assholes. So we went out there laughing, and we went up there, and it was gone. Somebody stole it, dude. Somebody stole it. And like, it was only up there for like 45 minutes. So we called the cops, and now we feel horrible. And I think I gave him a ride home, and that's when I saw he lived in a trailer. Dude, it was fucking brutal. So this is the best part. Like 4 or 5 days later, they found the thing, and I remember it was silver. And some shithead tried to spray paint it black and did a horrible job. So just saw this black and silver. And he came to work the next day, like with his hair all frosted. Wrapped the thing in. Hung over his shirt. All excited that he got his moped back. So it had a happy ending.
That is hilarious.
That's fucking hilarious.
That's hilarious. They're doing that now with the city
Somebody
bikes.
Somebody stole it.
I mean, people steal the city bikes and they paint them. They take them to the projects and they paint them like green or some shit.
Oh, really?
Know? I know, and it's a brand of bike that nobody buys other than in the city, too.
Right, it's hilarious.
That was the level of partying. What was funny was I would be working the grill, And, you know, and everyone could see me in the restaurant because I was glassed in. But then when I would take the orders off the grill, put it on a plate, when I turned it around, there was that little, you know, that little window.
Right.
And I would hand it, and I could look into the kitchen. Dude, I remember one time they had, like, a cube of this brown stuff, like hash, I don't know what. I was never into weed. And they had it, like, smoldering underneath this thing. And they would lift the glass up, and they take a hit, and then they would walk out onto the floor. Yeah, it's just no wonder the place went out of business.
In the year that it operated. Oh, that's great, dude. That is great. Yeah, I was a janitor.
That's crazy, dude.
In high school, I got in so much trouble that the principal came up. He's like, look, you're after school every day. You may as well get paid for it so you can be a janitor's assistant. So, you know, he's like, there's this guy, Paul, who was the janitor, and you'll be his assistant. And Paul would show me all